Gordon Edwards, thank you for joining me.
My pleasure, Carmel.
So let's start maybe with describing what the Bruce Peninsula is.
Well, the Bruce Peninsula is, like all peninsulas, a kind of a thumb sticking northward and separating Georgian Bay from Lake Huron. But it's not really on the Bruce Peninsula that the Bruce reactors are located. The Bruce reactors are located down closer to the knuckle of that thumb. So it's really on the shore of Lake Huron. And that's really where the whole Bruce nuclear complex is located, consisting of 8 operating nuclear reactors, 1 reactor, which is a prototype that has been shut down for decades, and a large operation called the Western Waste Management Facility, which has collected nuclear wastes of all kinds, from not only from the Bruce plants, but also from other plants down south, Pickering and Darlington.
So why is the Canadian Coalition for Nuclear Responsibility opposed to this site, this deep geologic repository?
Well, Ontario Power Generation, which owns the nuclear reactors at Bruce and the other reactors as well in Ontario, has leased these reactors to a private company called Bruce Power, which makes a profit by running the reactors and selling the electricity, but without having any ultimate responsibility for the for any of the nuclear waste or for the decommissioning of the reactors at the end of their lifetime. So Ontario Power Generation is the one that runs and owns and operates the Western Waste Management Facility. And they have recently, at the suggestion of the mayor of Kincardine, looked into the possibility of burying this waste deep underground in a deep geological repository. And so they would put all the waste from all of the nuclear reactors in Ontario. This is about 220,000 tons of nuclear waste, which they would put underground in limestone caverns that they would excavate. And this entire operation would be situated about a kilometer from the shore of Lake Huron. Now, the reason why the Canadian Coalition for Nuclear Responsibility is against this proposal is because the intention is very clearly stated to abandon the waste here. In other words, there are 4 phases to the project. Phase number 1 is construction of the facility. Phase number 2 is operation of the facility, and that really means the emplacement of these wastes underground. Phase number 3 is closure, which means sealing the repository. And phase number 4 is specifically stated to be abandonment. And this is the part which we find hard to swallow, because if they are going to abandon these wastes, which remain dangerous, they admit, for more than 100,000 years. In fact, many of the items will remain dangerous literally for millions of years. It just doesn't seem right to abandon these wastes. They should be, somebody should be in charge. Somebody should be monitoring them, and somebody should be able to retrieve them in the event of some catastrophic event or even some chronic leakage into the lake. Because after all, the Great Lakes are the drinking water for 40 million people.
So it's not...
It doesn't seem right to abandon them.
It's not the site or the location. It's the process and what's planned.
It's this abandonment that sticks in our craw. Now, of course, other people are pointing out that deep geological repositories have not been successful. In fact, there's not one single operating safe geological repository for nuclear waste anywhere in the world.
Where else are they in the world?
Well, they had 2 in Germany, which have both collapsed. These are for low-level waste. One of them is called the Asse Mine. It was leaking radioactivity for 10 years before the authorities were even told that it was leaking. And now they are removing the waste from this collapsing mine, and it will take, they figure, more than 30 years to get all the nuclear waste out of it. It's quite a mess. They also have another in Germany. They also have another one at Gorsleben, which is also leaking and also collapsing, and they're removing the waste from that one as well. Here in North America, the only deep geological repository for nuclear waste is located at Carlsbad, New Mexico. And just last year, in February of last year, they had an accident there where underground, about 700 meters underground in a rock formation, a waste drum exploded, and plutonium-laden dust made its way vertically upwards for 700 meters to contaminate 22 workers at the surface. And then that dust drifted downwind and lightly contaminated the town of Carlsbad, New Mexico. So that's been off limits now, and they say it won't be able to be reopened, this waste repository, until 2018. So all of these things point out the fact that we are not as much in control as we think we are. And it also highlights the fact that this waste is ultimately not inert material, but active material. That means that it causes chemical reactions to take place. That's because of the radiation. The radiation is a promoter of chemical reactions. It's well known. So that means that things can happen underground that you did not expect.
What's the alternative?
The alternative is to accept the fact that we have, in fact, created this waste and that we are obligated to look after it. And this is not just a nuclear industry obligation. This is a societal obligation. So we believe that we should be looking towards the idea of rolling stewardship. Rolling stewardship is a policy that was put forward by the National Academy of Sciences in the United States some years ago, a couple of decades ago. And the idea is that we have a commitment as a society to look after this waste and to retrieve it and repackage it whenever it needs to be repackaged and to make any necessary repairs going along indefinitely into the future to ensure that this does not contaminate the environment and endanger the health of people. Now, we have elaborated on this idea, that is the CCNR, to say that there should be perhaps a 20-year interval where there is a kind of a formal changing of the guard, where the next generation of people who are going to be looking after the waste are inducted and instructed as to what the nature of the waste is and how necessary it is to make sure that it stays out of the environment, and that they have to be given the resources and the manpower to look after it for 20 years at a time. Now, the advantage of this approach is that it's much easier to communicate to the next generation than it is to communicate to some far distant generation that may not even be speaking any language that we understand. How do we communicate to some remote civilization thousands of years into the future? They will think our writing is something like Egyptian hieroglyphics, and they may not be able to decipher it.
But in the meantime, these power plants continue to produce this material, which continually will need to be dealt with. So are you proposing that the material not be stored deep in the earth, but perhaps at the surface as it is now?
Well, there are advantages to both. Perhaps not deep disposal, but subsurface disposal, which is not, and I don't even like to call it disposal, because it's the abandonment that we think is a bad idea. I don't think that we should put this stuff out of human control. Well, humans have created it, and humans have an obligation to look after it. And the future generations have the right to know what it is, to know where it is, and to know how to protect themselves against it if it does start leaking. So deep geological disposal may not be the best idea. The best idea may be surface and near-surface storage. I would rather call it storage than disposal, because, in fact, we don't know how to get rid of this stuff. We can just move it from one place to another. When they talk about a nuclear cleanup, all they're really doing is collecting the stuff together and moving it to another location.
Well, you know, this doesn't seem to be that big a gap. It seems that some kind of compromise can be reached between the two sides.
Well, some kind of compromise could be reached if the industry was willing to compromise. But what's really happening here is that there's a conflict of wills. Already we've had 145 municipalities, including such towns as Toronto, Chicago, London, Ontario, and so on, have passed resolutions opposed to this repository, this deep geological repository, right on the shores of Lake Huron. The location is one of the problems, and the other problem is the abandonment. So these resolutions that have already been passed represent the will of 10 million people when you look at the populations of those communities. So we really have a conflict of wills here between the industry, which is determined to put this stuff and abandon it near the shores of Lake Huron and continue to produce more indefinitely into the future, versus the people who live around the Great Lakes who are determined that that should not happen.
A decision is expected in September, I understand.
Well, yes. The government of Canada is going to be acting upon the recommendations of a panel. There was a joint review panel that was established to conduct hearings, and this took place over a period of 3 years. But we have the other problem, and that is that there's no real separation between the government of Canada and the nuclear industry in Canada. The government of Canada created the nuclear industry. The government of Canada has supported the nuclear industry to the tune of many billions of dollars, and they continue to want to sell nuclear products around the world, such as CANDU reactors, and recently there was a sale of uranium to India, facilitated by the government of Canada. So we have a problem here in that our government is not really separated from the industry that it is supposed to be regulating. And as a result, the regulator, the Canadian Nuclear Safety Commission, is not really independent of the industry either, because they are the creature of the government and they are following the will of the government, which is not to stop producing this waste, but to continue producing this waste.
But we do have a federal election coming up in October, so people in the area, granted it is a small area that gets to vote and decide in terms of how far-reaching the issue will be publicized.
It's not likely to be an election issue because Canadians don't usually take issues of that kind to be an election issue, environmental issues, specific environmental issues. However, it is something that I think is a worldwide phenomenon. We really have two different points of view. The industry has the point of view that if they make it appear that they're getting rid of the waste, that they can continue producing it, whereas the public often has the other point of view that if we want to get rid of this waste, we should stop producing it. That's the only way that we can have a finite quantity to actually deal with.
Well, Gordon Edwards, it's been fascinating, and we'll see how the conversations continue over the summer.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.